No, it's not like so.
Take a lot of the fire.
There he is.
I just have one question on page four.
talking about Bill Cole's invoice. Did we approve that and pay it, or did we have to make a motion on it, or was that just...
We didn't make a motion on it, and my daughter wrote me a check.
Perfect. That's all that matters to me.
The city treasurer. Based on what we discussed, what we approved 2 years ago and then renewed previously in January, and it was a minimum number of hours.
Okay. In that case,
that's my understanding of what occurred.
Yeah, we had approved that in advance, and that was a reflection of what had already been discussed and approved.
Gotcha. Well, in that case, I moved to approve the minutes from the November meeting.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Well, it is my pleasure to pass the gavel, a new gavel. Just got a new gavel to pass over to the new mayor. So, it's with great comfort that I pass the reins and the gavel to Brady. I know, as I mentioned at the tree lighting the other night. I could not be more comfortable with the state of the city and the state of the leadership. So it's been a joy and something I've enjoyed, and but it's a new season, and I'm excited for the city working with it.
Well, Ben, before you leave, I know Ben mentioned multiple times that he did not want this meeting to be about him, but I'm going to present him with a plaque for his outstanding service. He was a on city council for 6 years and mayor for 2 years, and nothing but a gentleman. He's a great guy. I think everybody would agree with that. So I'm just going to read this really quick and then spend 2 minutes kind of embarrassing him. So this comes from all of us. It says, Ben Cowley, in appreciation, your dedicated leadership as mayor for the city of Lake Quivira from 2017 to 2019, and in appreciation for your civic contribution as council member for the city of Lake Quivira from 2012 to 2017. So, thank you, Ben. One thing I love about Ben, he's a great, great storyteller. I could listen to Ben tell stories all day long, and he's got a great story of a trip to Japan. And Ben, being the respectful, you know, guest that he was in somebody's house, was required to wear a robe. And Ben's a tall guy, and this robe didn't quite fit. So we thought, what a better gift than, you know, like his own customized Lake Quivira rugby shirt, because Ben was also a rugby player, for those who don't know. So it's penalty number 13, he's our 13th mayor. And he can do with that what he wants. He can frame it, pass it out to his kids, wear it, whatever he wants to do. But he was a rugby player, for those who don't know. So that's for you to do what you want, and thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Ben's been clear that he is taking off right now, so say another round of applause for Ben. All right, so now this week kind of got our little agenda, but if we start going off track, smack us around a little bit.
We made notes here, so we wouldn't forget.
Okay, good. So what I've got next, since we've approved the minutes, we are going to get sworn in, myself and Annie Nolan and Greg Pree, by Judge Dan Parker, who's here today.
Yes.
We just do it right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Please repeat after me. I, Brady Littlejohn.
I, Brady Littlejohn.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge the duties of mayor.
And faithfully discharge the duties of mayor.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
I believe that's right.
Is he still here?
Yeah.
It looks like he was. I'm very happy you saw this. Thank you. Okay. You saw it?
Yeah.
You stand.
Andrea.
This is it. Okay. Please repeat after me. I, Andrea Nolan.
I, Andrea Nolan.
Solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
Solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council member.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council member.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Just
I
believe that's right. It's all right.
I can't see.
I'm sure you
do. She signs in her spot and then you sign above.
Okay. Okay. Very I, Greg Craig II.
I, Greg Craig II.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council member.
And that's a long time.
And faithfully
discharge the duties of
discharge council member.
Discharge the duties of council member.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right. So if you will sign the bottom, please. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. You can stick around, Judge, for
yes,
a couple more minutes.
Yes.
Doing good so far, Ellis?
We got it.
Oh, man. Right.
I was just making sure I knew what your next
item was. Okay. Upon taking the oath for mayor, I do hereby resign my current position as city council member as well as my position of city council president. And I will hereby appoint Dave McCullough to my seat. Dave was the next highest vote getter and has been a regular at our meetings and seems like a go-getter, and I think he's going to do a great job. However, we do need to have a motion and elect him for him to have that seat before he takes oath, correct?
Yes, it's fine with consent of council, so it requires a majority vote of those who are present in voting. So there's four of us, so we're going to be voting three.
I will make a motion to allow Mayor Lilja to appoint Dave McCullough to his vacated council seat, number C.
And second?
Second.
Any opposed? I guess I should have said all in favor first. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Dave, come on up.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Stay standing.
Yes.
Please repeat after me.
I, Dave McCullough.
I, Dave McCullough.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Coeur, Kansas.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Coeur, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
The duties of council member.
The duties of council member.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay. How about a round of applause for all of you guys? Okay, so this is going to be a little move from the agenda you see in front of you. We've got Nate by Arley. Close enough.
Yep.
With CVIS, he's our representative for our city insurance. He's here to present some the 2020 terms for us, and also go over some ransom cyberware issues. And also, folks, you guys are welcome to stay. This man is kind of typically the time that everybody clears out unless you want to hear about exciting city insurance stuff.
Nico said thank you. Okay.
Oh.
She said, sorry, no bet. Okay. Hi, Lee. That's what I just asked Kathy.
Yeah. She's always here.
No, I asked Kathy, I said, hold on a second, does it get me too? She was like, no, I don't think so. I was like,
how many
times
have Kathy been? I met her about that this week. Just in the field. Oh, John, or well, we don't have to do it in front of
us. Did Dan leave?
Why, I hope not.
I think he did.
No,
okay.
Does he need to do that again?
Yeah. Forget.
Just Neil.
Oh.
Gotcha. You're off the hook.
Well, good. I was going to feel really sad I didn't have a support group. Wait a
second.
No, the two of you that were not up for office, but it was you two.
Yes.
YouTube,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no problem.
One more.
Yeah, please raise your hand. I give that.
I give that.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Coeur, Kansas.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Coeur, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you. All right. Sorry about that, Gail. Okay, so once again, Nate, we are lay with CBiz.
All right. I'm Nate. I'm from CBiz. We are the city's insurance broker. We have worked with the city for the last several years and really enjoyed our partnership with you all. The staff has done a phenomenal job with risk management and developing a culture of safety. So hats off to you all. So I'm here to talk about the January 1st renewal. We met with the staff and Brady last week to kind of talk about the particulars. He asked me to be here today to kind of address just the program in general, talk about some of the coverages we have. And so for us at CBiz, we place the city's property, liability, auto, and umbrella coverages. It's all with one carrier called Travelers. They're an insurance carrier that's national. They're a huge carrier. They have a lot of expertise with city and municipalities. We at CBiz work with a lot of different cities, and Travelers is a good partner with a lot of our city accounts. And they've been a good partner to the city over the last several years. And so that is who we are proposing that we renew with this year. Next, I'll kind of just touch on each line of coverage just briefly. In terms of property, we cover the building here, City Hall, and also the gas pumps next door. We cover all the contents in the building, so the furniture, computers, all of that's insured under the property. We have a $5,000 deductible, and the building is insured at replacement cost valuation as opposed to actual cash valuation. The next coverage we have, and also if you guys have any questions, feel free to chime in at any time. We have inland marine coverage, which is a different kind of property coverage. It's really designed for property that moves around at different locations. So for this line of coverage, we have a lot of contractors' equipment scheduled. A lot of the fire equipment is currently under this policy. It has a lower deductible than the property. It's only $1,000. Next, we have a crime policy, which covers employee theft. We have a $250,000 limit with a $1,000 deductible. And then next, we have general liability. This is kind of what it sounds like. It's just general liability. The most claims we see under this line of coverage are slips, trips, and falls on the city premises. So if someone slipped in the parking lot, the general liability would cover that claim. There isn't a deductible with this line of coverage. And we have a $1 million limit each occurrence and a $2 million general aggregate that would apply throughout the term. Next, we have several different liability coverages in place for the city. Kind of broadly, we call it public officials liability. So the first one is management liability or directors and officers. So it covers you all and the managerial decisions. We have $1 million of coverage with a $2,500 deductible. Next, we have employee practices liability coverage. This is a coverage that covers claims against discrimination, sexual harassment, wrongful termination, claims of that nature. We have a $2 million limit with a $5,000 retention. And then next, we have law enforcement liability for our police chief. $1 million of coverage with $5,000 deductible. The type of claims that kind of arise with this line of coverage is excessive force, false arrest, things of that nature. Next, we have automobile coverage. So the city has three different vehicles that we insure under this policy. It covers $1 million of liability coverage as well as physical damage. The deductible on this one is $500. And then last, we have an umbrella policy that sits above all the city's liability coverages. So if one of those primary coverages were to be exhausted throughout the term, this is kind of a policy that would kick in an extra $1 million of coverage. So really it's used for catastrophic events. And that is kind of just an overview of what we currently place on behalf of the city. Now, we met in the fall with Brady and Kathy and Aaron, and we talked about cyber liability as a coverage that not only are we seeing more clients be affected by it, but also they had some interest in it as well. And so we went out and got two different options, two different quotes for the city to consider this year. They're both very comparable in terms of what they're covering. One of the coverages under the cyber liability, so kind of generally, it's covering if someone were to hack into the city's system and steal private information. It also covers something called ransomware or cyber extortion. So if someone took over the city's systems and would not release it unless you paid them a certain amount of money, this is actually a coverage we're seeing a lot of different clients get hit with this year. So we think it's very important to consider. And then another coverage in cyber liability is called social engineering. And this is when an outside party pretends to be a city vendor or Brady, the mayor, and directs an employee to send money out or whatever under kind of a false disguise. Another coverage that we think is super valuable and we're seeing a lot of clients get hit with. And it's funny, we were talking with Kathy. She gets phishing emails all the time. And so it's something that definitely is prevalent in today's environment. So we had two different options, and they're both very similar in costs. It just kind of depends on what kind of limit we want and the type of deductible.
So now, in one of our meetings, you had anticipated, I want to say, at least a 5% increase in our insurance. It actually went down, it decreased, correct, from last year?
Correct. So when we met a couple months ago, typically in those meetings, we talk about the marketplace and kind of what we're seeing just in the insurance industry and kind of the indications we had gotten from the carrier as well as kind of what we are seeing across our book of business with cities in similar size is a lot of carriers were pushing for rate increases between 5 to 7%. So basically, they're just charging more for what they're covering. You know, the other part of that is they take into consideration exposure changes. So if we're adding things that need to be insured, that can have an impact on price. And so when we met with Brady, we've kind of given a target of we think the renewal is going to be somewhere 5% higher than last year, given what's happening in the marketplace. There's been a number of catastrophic events that have affected the country and just the industry, which has made property rates go up, as well as auto. Auto is a line of coverage where there's a lot of distracted driving. Cars are more expensive to fix now, and so it's more expensive to insure them. And so that's kind of the target that we had given Brady. And there were a couple exposure changes, but not much. But we were happy to see that Travelers came in under what the city paid last year in insurance. So they really kept the rate pretty flat. And we were joking around with Brady. It's probably the first decrease that we've delivered this year. So we're happy with where the carrier came in.
It was the first one we had seen ever.
But that did not include the cyber, right?
Correct. That did not include the cyber, correct.
And then why do we have fire coverage if we don't have active fire?
We still have one fire truck.
But do we use it?
No, it's the lowest possible.
Right, and so
if we have to, if Mark Stephan sells it, has to drive it to the small town Kansas, which we did with the first one.
And kind of to your point, we had traditionally, so you, with auto, you have liability coverage and physical damage. And with the fire truck, since it's not really in use, we only have liability coverage on it. So that lowers the premium. And then to Brady's point, once that gets sold, we can remove it and get return premium from the carrier.
So that's my third vehicle on the three vehicles. Okay, so that means Chief Friend's.
The police car, the bicycle. Yep.
And is the cyber policy contingent on the IT, like what's in place, what we have as from a security perspective with our servers and all that? So I don't know what any of that is, but I can.
Yeah, so that's a good question. It is predicated on some controls being in place. Like a basic one is that you have like a firewall in your system, which I had communicated with the city's IT person, and it sounds like you guys do have that in place. But yeah, the cyber policy is really designed to respond to a lot of different things. There's more coverage as a part of it than I mentioned. And, you know, like I said, we think it's a very valuable coverage to consider right now.
If someone steals gas pumps all credit card based, if someone somehow, I think a few years, many years ago, it's someone. Does it cover that?
That is something that it would typically cover is that private information. If they stole like the credit card information off that pump, that's exactly the type of thing that it would cover. I'm not sure if the city controls the database of storing that information or if that's a third party, but that's exactly the type of thing that it would cover.
Just so you guys know, the total premium for the cyber liability and social engineering, if elected, for the year is the one with BCS. That's the company, one of the companies you guys use.
Correct.
It's $1,483. Hiscox, which is the other company, is $1,391. So you're looking at about a $100 difference. The change, in case you're wondering, the change in premium price from last year to this year is approximately $200 to $300.
That's the savings.
What's the $29,488 for the year? This is not something that we have to vote on tonight. You guys can ask Nate questions, soak it in, and we can vote on it at the January meeting.
Yeah, and it's a coverage that we don't currently have, so we can add it at any point. So to Brady's point, something you guys can kind of think about, and it's something we can place on your guys' behalf at any point.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, in my opinion, for the price, it's a no-brainer to me. But, I'm open.
Well, I was going to say, I probably need to throw the caveat out there, but I have several insurance licenses, but I go out of my way to not use them, so I'm glad there's people like me like to use them. But the, yeah, I mean, to me, the cyber coverage is absolutely a must at this point. I guess my only question would be, and maybe you guys handled this at your meeting, some of those deductibles seem awfully low, you know, $500 on cars and that kind of thing. I don't know if there's any way to meaningfully drive down that $29,000 premium by, you know, going to, I mean, obviously the city would be in a position to absorb a $1,500 or a $2,500 hit. Is that something that's been considered to save a couple bucks, or is it not meaningful enough to worry about?
I definitely see what you're saying. Is that right? $500 deductible for the vehicle?
For the auto. Yeah, so that's a great question, and that's something that we always try and at least get the coverage option of, okay, how much savings would it be if we increased our deductible? Especially on the auto, $500 is low, but typically we would jump up to $1,000. On the auto, the premium is so low that there would not be very much savings. We did bring out a coverage option on the property, which we have a $5,000 deductible. In order to move up to a 10, it offered about $732 of savings. And when we met in our meeting, typically we want to see the carrier incentivize you guys more and give you more savings to do it. However, the other thing that we talked about in our meeting and we do with other clients, it's all about risk tolerance. You know, it kind of depends on, are you guys going to turn in an $8,000 claim where you pay $5,000 at the deductible and then insurance pays $3,000? If you wouldn't even bother turning in a claim like that, it may be worth going to a $10,000 deductible to get some savings if you're not going to turn in a claim anyway. That's just kind of our take on it. We'd like to see more savings offered, but it's kind of your guys' call.
Yeah. Mr. Insurance Man, what's your take on
it? Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm wearing two hats. I mean, my personal take is to self-insure as much as possible and drive the premiums down. But on the other hand, you know, this isn't my money, this is our money we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we need to, you know, but take the personal hat on and put the council member hat on. And, you know, I think you can make a good case to mitigate. Maybe it's our job to mitigate as much risk as possible. I don't, you know, it always seems like there's like a 7-year payback on that.
Right.
Deal. So I don't know. I haven't been around for 7 years. I mean, have we filed an insurance claim in the last 7 years?
You guys have been pretty loss free.
Yeah.
Like, not very many losses turned in. It's always kind of a game of when you move the deductible. You know, because once you move it up, it's hard to get the carrier to go back down if you want to go back down.
Surprise, wasn't a second. I'm sorry.
We were having a side discussion.
We're rewinding the clock here.
We think there have been two
in
our tenure.
Yeah, in the last 7 years,
basically. So,
So, I mean, to your point, I mean, if you guys aren't even having a claim, it's always the thing, too. It's like you haven't had claims for years, and the 1 year you move your deductible up, that's always sometimes what happens. So.
Right, we'll have that rare December hailstorm.
We said two, and then Fred said, I'm surprised there haven't been a couple more. Just a side comment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's meaningful enough to.
That was kind of my take on it. Anybody else?
Is that a $1 million umbrella policy, is that typical? Is that appropriate for a city this size?
We think it's pretty appropriate. It's one of those things where it's kind of your guys' call. $1 million is, across our book, $1 million is pretty common for cities of this size. However, the costs of additional layers of umbrella are not as expensive, so it's definitely something we can bring an option out for an additional umbrella limit if we need to.
Well, and I guess that maybe that's a good point, Dave. My take on it would be I'd be more inclined to potentially absorb a little bit more risk and bump the deduct and use that premium savings to increase our umbrella liability to cover something more catastrophic.
I will say that there are state laws to protect public entities from claims, and Kansas actually has a very favorable law for Kansas public entities called the Tort Claims Act. And so basically, the city would have to be grossly negligent for this cap not to apply. For all the liability coverage, there's a cap of $500,000, the most that the city would have to pay out. And so it kind of saves you from having to buy too much umbrella, because the likelihood of it going above what you guys buy is low. However, I'm with you. Like, it's something to definitely consider on the umbrella. We want to make sure you guys are protected from any catastrophic event.
Well, we do have a green council, clearly, after all the...
Well, that's a great point about the tolls permit. I didn't realize the state had that, so that'd be something I'd like to look into before weighing in on whether I think the umbrella should be bumped
sure.
up or not.
Yeah.
But thank you for that
sure.
information.
That umbrella would cover things other than tort claims, would it not?
Right. Yeah, so there's a few different instances where the tort claim limit wouldn't apply. Since we're so close to the state border, if something were to happen in Missouri, then it wouldn't apply. If specifically with like employment practices liability, we're seeing attorneys that will take the case federally to try and get around that tort immunity. So there are definitely circumstances where it will go outside of that.
Section 1983. Example, federal claims would be subject to the Tort Claims Act, the State Tort Claims Act. So there could be other claims. So I'm trying to. Cities are paranoid anyway, but I don't know of a city in this area that doesn't carry at least $2 million umbrella. And I'm kind of like you, though. I've always wondered why the deductibles were so low. And why we don't increase our deductibles if relatively low risk, and it's, we do have cash reserves that could cover a claim.
What ballpark? What would it increase? You know, from $1 million to $2 million on the umbrella. Do you know off the top of your head what that would look like?
In terms of the cost?
Uh-huh.
Changing deductible or not?
You think just the changing the umbrella first?
Yeah, and you know, you don't have an answer. You can email us.
Yeah, absolutely. I can get a good indication on what it would actually cost. I can send that to you before the renewal. The current umbrella is a little over $3,000. I wouldn't imagine it would cost more than $5,000 to go up more, but I can get an indication.
$2,000 net difference.
Right. I can get a better indication from the carrier if you all would like me to.
It sounds to me that's kind of what we'd like to see. And we have time to do it, so why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think the cyber coverage is so important. I mean, to me, that's a standalone decision. And I don't know how else would that be a big emotion not to have add that coverage at a premium not to exceed, or, I mean, I know there's two carriers there. I'm sure there's some nuances between the policies.
I'm sure you could just authorize the mayor, the city administrator to add that coverage. That's one, so big one for me. We don't have any coverage. All the cities have that, including this coverage. It used to be covered under a GL policy. And then three or four years ago, they wrote it out as a GL policy and left everybody hanging.
Well,
that one makes me nervous myself. We're sitting deck, but sitting our size.
Yeah, no, I'll make a motion for the city to engage Nate CBiz to find an appropriate cyber coverage policy covering hacking, ransomware, social engineering.
Flip the page.
Do we need to pick one of the I don't know.
I know there's like one additional
you recommended
options. The two different businesses, right? Companies right there.
So,
right.
They're,
I mean, they look
between the two of them.
Yeah. Did you have a preference of one that you picked for?
It kind of just depends. So, I will say the two options, very comparable. They're both companies that we've worked with, so we feel comfortable recommending either one of them. Some of the differences with BCS, the column on the left, the social engineering limit is $250,000. whereas with Hiscox it's only 100,000, so that limit's a little bit higher, which is what we like to see. The retention with BCS for all of the coverage is 2,500 as opposed to Hiscox, which is 5,000. So we like the lower retention on the BCS. However, with the social engineering, the retention is 10,000 under BCS, whereas with Hiscox, they offer 100,000 limit with a 5,000 retention on the social engineering. So it's one of those things where social engineering is probably one of the coverages that might actually happen. And you have to kind of make the decision of, do we want a higher limit, but also a higher retention with it with BCS, the 250,000 with the 10,000, or do we want the lower retention, 5,000, and a lower limit, 100,000 with Hiscox?
To me, that goes back to right what we were just saying. If you could amend the motion to, I think we do BCS, absorb a little bit more risk, but have higher coverage on the social engineering. That is probably out of all these things listed here the most potential
yeah.
Relevant. So I think I see here it's 135 additional premium, but I mean that's they're splitting hairs at that point. So I think we I would amend the motion to say let's engage quickly with the cyber liability coverage through the carrier BCS.
For the price of?
For the price of not to exceed $1,500 a year. It's $1,348 and an additional $135, so not to exceed $1,500
a year. Okay. Got a motion?
I'll second that.
We got a second?
Was that Mr. McCullough?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? All right, motion carries.
So then, do you mind sending an email out to, you know, if we did bump the deductibles a little bit on that, what, and then what that umbrella would cost, and then I think we could vote on that next in January.
Okay, so additional umbrella, and then bump the deductible on which coverages?
I use your professional judgment. You know, on autos, I'd say 500 to, you know, 1,000 or 2,000, something like that. And properties from, you know, like you said, 2,500 to 5,000. Just, you know, pick it up a skosh.
Yep.
And maybe we could use those premium savings to better
fund this, fund the cyber liability. Maybe
yeah,
even.
Or the increased umbrella.
Okay. That sounds good. I can get that to you guys this week.
And I don't think we need to have a meeting for that. I just think an email to Kathy that she can distribute to us.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we'll discuss.
That sounds good.
And you don't need to attend the next meeting, I don't think. Unless you want to. But appreciate you coming.
Yeah,
any other
absolutely.
Questions for Nate? We're going to go over areas of responsibility. And like Johnson, we've got a lot of newbies here. So these are kind of tentative areas of responsibility. So we'll discuss that. Mr. Insurance over here has got a pretty good grasp on it. I think Andy does too, Dave does. So we'll discuss and
okay.
Let
sounds
you know
good.
Your next
great.
Point of contact
with Rosa.
Okay, awesome.
Hey, you
no, I'll give it back. You can have it.
You guys can trade.
Kathy and
just,
I don't
know anywhere. Just a thought on that.
Yes.
Part of that is covering for the gas pump. Maybe some of that expense can be covered from increasing the rent or making part of his new contract that he carry a similar cyber coverage insurance as well.
He surely has it though, does he? He didn't last time.
You never know.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, something to think about.
Okay.
Yeah. What about naming him as an additional insured?
Yeah.
Does that?
I don't think since he's not a city employee that we.
We can name him as an additional insured, but I can tell you the carriers hate
him. Well, that's what I was going to say. I feel like it'd just be better for him to.
Let's leave that. Hey, Dave, your gas station man. Congratulations.
Kathy and Fred and I have some.
I like the nickname. Insurance man, gas station
man. Gas man.
So anything helps with the gas station, as far as cyberware, anything like that.
Any cyber liability policy that we put in place, I guess I'd want to understand a little bit more on the gas station.
Okay.
So
basically, we own it, and we have somebody that fills it up.
Gotcha. And
he's got a lease with us.
Okay.
I think he's got several of these little stations around town, but I'm not sure.
I believe we may either be his only one, or he might have us and one other now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember Dave White had said a couple years ago that he was slowly
getting rid of them.
Getting
rid of
them.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Any other questions for Nate?
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, Nate.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a good evening, guys.
Greg has made this a data question.
If that does at least
work on something that we're nothing,
yeah.
We check the fluid every time.
From what I understand, Mike Olson looked into it when he was mayor, and if Terry Presto were to bow out, I think we'd have a hard time finding somebody that would.
I believe we have two back here who have.
We're wondering when it goes up for bid.
It's really funny because I talked to one other person in this room who was interested in one time at that gas station.
Based on what I've heard the last couple of years, y'all talk about it.
Yeah,
you give him quite a deal.
He's got a sweet deal because we've been afraid to lose him and not be able to.
I'm just saying, I've never.
I think we live here. The jug would be full with juice, and we would make sure the tape was filled.
Jug would be filled.
You can guarantee that the receipts will spit out every single time.
I can't guarantee it, but I'd do a hell of a lot better.
So what's the best so far? High B, high octane gas.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, we can put in for price.
What you mean?
Dave, you might want to
press
that.
Actually,
I know Dave White talks about
it. Yes. Are we full service or self service?
Oh, God.
If it's going out for bid sometime,
hey,
I believe you
for the amount of people who stop there and then don't get a receipt and then come in to ask Kathy or Fred and I for a receipt, which we have no ability to print them one.
And then how about when our internet goes off and it's
I believe that's your problem that we as a city have to solve or make them do it as part of their role.
Alyssa and I are trying.
Every one of those stations has the thing on top, right?
We did put it up for bid.
No, I said we're trying to fix the internet issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, 18 years are killed.
I mean, if you guys are serious, we can, as a council, can discuss it.
I haven't spoke with the commander-in-chief, and he probably has not either, but it sounds very interesting.
Has Terry Presta signed his new lease?
I think that's January every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
January. But sign it? Did Dave White make him sign it before you?
I don't believe so.
Repaint it and clean it and do all
that. We live here. Now, wait a minute. That's what you do for Terry.
Exactly.
When you play cheap, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe Greg and I are interested.
Yeah. Leaves are conflicted now. We are. Just put it out there as even if it's a stalking, hey, we got somebody interested.
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
Yeah.
And make him, sorry, I don't even know the guy, but we can do it better than what we got, I think.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
We put that out several times in the past, so I don't know if I remember right. We didn't get anybody else.
We have not put it out since I've been here, and that's almost 8 years.
It's probably been.
So I can tell you at least that.
I don't know if it's been that long, but I know we had increases rent much either.
$9 a year.
Yeah.
That's what he pays.
$9 extra.
$3.54.
Yeah.
Fred and I got really bored one day during the summer and planned out the entire thing.
Not bored, frustrated.
Yeah.
Out of frustration. I'm like, that's
dirt cheap rent, in my opinion. But do we have anything in the lease that requires us to give them 60 days notice if we increase the rent by more than $9 or anything like that?
Could you guys serve
gas
man?
Yeah, I was going to talk to Dave White.
Could he cab out
Dave White?
You could throw in the firehouse.
Yeah.
Set up a whole convenience store.
That was Ben's idea at one point. He wanted to turn the firehouse into like an Amazon market.
No, buy nickel candy for all those kids to come down.
This is not on the agenda, but just if you want to work on it, we'll be happy to discuss.
Okay, Dave McCullough is going to get
peanut gallery back.
Kathy.
Okay.
See if there's anything in there.
So you don't want this, do you want this posted in the Corbera?
Sure.
Let's go leave it in that.
Wait a minute.
No name for you.
Sure.
Who are you guys? All right. Okay, moving on. Thanks, guys. SMAC report. For those that don't know, Bill Cole has volunteered to be our representative for the SMAC funding that we got for the Dutch Hope project.
Opti project.
Yes.
Okay, let's make sure we understand. New members, so I'll phrase where this came from. Walking around with Ben in the morning, I was the next tallest guy, so I was working next to him, and he asked, does anybody want to do this Mac job? Sounded interesting, so I said yes. And that's how it happened.
I think so.
I have a long history working with engineering companies and some of the folks that are involved in them I've known personally, but SMAC is Storm Water Advisory Council, and this is the unfair Senate where every city gets a vote, not every person, so we're just as powerful as Overland Park. Just keep that in mind, and that's the good part about it. And we have switched to 6 different basins as opposed to a full county that's in process right now. We're in the Mill Creek Basin, even though we're not in the Mill Creek Basin. We're in the Mill Creek Basin. It's us, Shawnee, Lenexa, rural parts of western Johnson County, and I believe Olathe is in the tail end of it. Long and complicated, but I'm on a volunteer basis. I'm not paid in that role at all. And any work associated with that in the initiation of it, I'm not paid for. I have an agreement with the city of Lake Quivira to provide engineering and construction support and represent the city in a variety of other things. So kind of make sure we differentiate those when I build a city for work at the end of the year, when I remember what I did for the city. I do that for only those times when Ben called me and said, hey, what's going on with Johnson County and the leak that's gone here? What's going on with, and it started with the spillway work, which we have about a third completed. And we need to give some real deep thought over the next 2 years to what we're going to do with that. So explaining the Stormwater Management Advisory Council is a role, monthly meetings, and I'm on a couple of committees where there's 2 other meetings that occurred during the month. And it's in transition and being launched. But we have money for Duck Cove, thanks to this gentleman, and the work Q Inc. and the city have done together to do the work. The massive mess in the back is his fault. And when it's beautiful, it's his fault, okay, in terms of how it's been completed. By the way, if you love culverts, that is a good-looking culvert. Get a chance to go back and look at it. And that's going very well in terms of keeping houses from being flooded and also controlling stormwater, and that's the whole purpose of the Stormwater Advisory Council. The county has a sales tax, and a portion of that sale, all of that sales tax goes to stormwater avoidance, prevention, dealing with in Johnson County, and we get our fair share or more based on our ability to participate in that. And that's why we belong. So we're so much involved in that. So Stormwater Advisory Council, the only thing going on with that is completing of this job, billing them correctly, the discussion between these two people who have all the responsibility involved with the Duck Cove project. They pay that at 80-20 or 75-25. So the city pays 25% of that cost and is being reimbursed by Q Inc. for that 25%. It's in process right now. And 75% of the cost is paid by us as citizens of Johnson County, and that's our share of that project. They have switched in the new realm to 50-50 for projects in each basin, and for those projects that they believe across the county need to be done, will be 100% funded by the county. We probably shouldn't look for any 100% funding. We may get some based on controlling the stormwater out of Shawnee that comes down the slope towards us. That's a long-range commitment that we're trying to get to. But some of the 50-50s will be ours. So we won't have it as good as we had with the Duck Cove, but we will have it for others. The second project that we have under the 75-25, the old rule, is Opti. That's draining the back retention pond, putting in the Opti control. Opti control is basically where folks in Boston use artificial intelligence to tell how much rain we're going to have, automatically drain that basin so that we catch more stormwater and delay the dredging of the entire lake, which is sometime in the next 50 years going to have to occur. That looking forward, we're trying to keep the mud in that area. The second thing it allows us to do is instead of paying Mr. Ricky, and by the way, it's a great deal, the $200,000 to drain all of that swamp stuff out, we can do it on an intermittent basis because we'll be able to dry that up and get a smaller piece of equipment that can haul
the muck back to the back retention area away from where it would drain back into the lake. So it gives us a couple of advantages, and it also keeps more storm water out of the lake as long as we can, because we have a tremendous problem with silting at Lake Quivira. It's one of them that the council from Harris, our grandson, and Nora, they'll get to deal with sometime in the future, because the lake will be full by that point. So stormwater, that's one job, and helping with the city is the other. Yes, sir.
How often do they award?
They're in this transition period, and all the jobs have been not canceled, but on hold going forward. And these are ones that you'll see all over Johnson County. If you're on I-35, you'll see the one in Turkey Creek that's running down there. The people in eastern Johnson County, Mission Hills, is in a terrible position because everything gets washed away based on what's been going on in development further down Turkey Creek as it comes in. There's just a wide variety of homes on 103rd Street, south of 103rd Street by Shawnee Mission South, that are flooded every time that river. Okay, buying those houses out, that's part of that deal, as opposed to making a deeper retention area. So projects like that you see that have tremendous stormwater that are mainly public, not on private ground, but on public ground, is what this particular stuff does. Now, back to your question, that process goes on yearly on a rolling basis. They're approved usually for engineering in 1 year and construction in the next year. And the estimated cost is done by a variety of engineering firms that are living off of this project, this sales tax in Johnson County, and basically dividing up and conquering on each of these different basins, setting up what the guesstimated cost is. We've been pretty good on the cost for Duck Cove. It's been close to what the estimate was from the engineer going forward on what our constructor cost us. And basically that's done on a rolling basis. 2 to 3 years, yeah.
Right. When I was walking around for that turkey gobble, walk's called?
Gobble wobble.
It does look really nice. And how come they didn't put any silt fence up? Yeah. They made a dirt piles right on the edge of the lake.
Yeah.
Hopefully they didn't. I haven't been by there, but I just assumed there would be silt fence there.
There is in the area that's around the culvert, but you're right, the large piles, I have not seen it.
In all honesty, it hasn't been an issue. Those piles come and go daily. As a matter of fact, the ones that are there now will probably be gone within a couple of days. There was some silt retention devices put up earlier on, especially the water one and that.
Yeah, the earlier ones, they were all the water.
The piles don't last long. As a matter of fact, they're spreading out today, cleaning up around Greg Miller's house, around the culvert, and we'll start moving all those two big piles out.
Such a change from before.
Yeah. The other, what's been interesting is John has dealt with every one of the, not complaints, they can be complaints, but a wide variety of our citizens wondering what's happened on a pre-basis, on a second pre-basis. Then when something happens, you know, water lines, they go up there and they cut a water line, their own water line, look at their maps, they don't know where it is, and somebody's out of service. All the way through to a citizen having an AB May come in to work, can't get their truck in. Here's what happened. Our guys were up on the hill working on it. The truck came up and said, oh, we can't get in, and they left. Never stopped it. These guys would have moved. They did it with every other vehicle that came in. But he gets the call from the resident who says, you blocked my guy from coming in, et cetera, et cetera. And again, we have an interesting group of folks here, all good people. But it's been an interesting opportunity for John to deal with all that, and he's done a good job of that. That's an interesting one. You're right. I haven't seen those.
If I could just add a couple of things, maybe to clarify more. The grants have to be submitted by January 31st. They're asking for the ones now coming up. So the engineering is all done. You do a preliminary engineering and submit it, and then if it's approved, you do your final engineering construction. They typically award them within a couple months later. In our case, we started construction in October. We got the engineering done. The new plan where they're going to the basins versus where it is now is actually good for us, because right now we have three major watersheds that come through Lake Quivira on the way to the Kansas River. Basically, all these watersheds originate outside of the city of Lake Quivira. We're at the bottom end of the watersheds. So everything that comes from those areas, Shawnee, Saddlebrook, there's two on the east side and one on the south side, they all come through. So under this new plan, it's going to be much easier if we can work with our partner cities to actually combine efforts to fix some of these problems. Just for a point of fact, no, I didn't grow up out here, but at one point the lake was 78 feet deep. Today it's 42 feet deep at its deepest point. So yes, it is silting in.
Is that by the spillway?
It's just south of the spillway. That's where Tule Creek, if you follow the basin, it actually runs along the launch ramp and then it meanders across the lake and then comes along those about the first 20 dock sites up to the spillway. So we've actually lost almost 50% of our water depth. If we don't continue, if we don't start controlling that, we're going to have problems. The big emphasis now is actually moving to stormwater systems.
Yeah.
And actually, I did become certified through NASCO certified through Johnson County Stormwater to actually provide culvert inspections. The only problem is I don't have any insurance. But I am certified. Fred's going to be certified in the upcoming class. So we have people that we can do it in-house versus hiring someone to do those inspections.
What works do we have again?
Officially under the city,
yeah,
as it sits, I think you have four. Four or five. Now within Lake Quivira, we have 138.
Yeah.
And how all that works out. The other thing is, just so everybody's up to speed on the Duck Cove project, we were awarded $818,000 for the initial work. Things that we've been dealing with and is the utility relocation. In particular, Kansas Gas went back to a 1959 easement, which we had two attorneys. One were sitting here, they didn't think we should be paying it, and they basically said, sue us, we'll see you in 5 years.
Which is standard behavior for Kansas
so
Gas.
So we're working through that, but Aaron and I have filed for an additional $225,000 in funding at the 75-25 level. Now, a couple of dates coming up. It's been moved now to December 12th. The Board of County Commissioners is approving the SMAC and the CARS budget for next year. It all has to go through the County Commissioners. I am currently scheduled to make a statement on behalf of Lake Quivira in support of that program, and I'll be making that statement at that meeting. The following day, we roll over to the SMAC meeting where our $225,000 addition will be up for approval, and hopefully we are awarded that. And then if we're not, well, it still falls under. The other thing is, just so that everybody here is up to speed on what's going on, Gail and John are, the agreement we have with Vera Inc., there is actually a legal reimbursement agreement in place, so the city does pay it, and then Lake Q Inc. will reimburse for any out-of-pocket expenditures. So that is in place, has been in place. So that's kind of how it works right now. So this month, it's going to be particularly important how this additional funding comes out. Right now, I'm hoping to have this whole thing pretty well wrapped up by Christmas, other than we're going to have to come back in spring and put sod and other things down. Now, on your other question, you know, once we finish up here in the next few weeks, hopefully, we will be putting grass seed and an erosion blanket down, not just hay, and we'll be covering all the exposed areas with that and anchoring the course appropriately to stop any erosion through the winter and all that, because there will be exposed soil. But that's kind of, if you have questions, I mean, Bill, I, Aaron, even Kathy's been heavily involved in this. Kathy does, for everybody's record, have a complete set of every piece of correspondence, every contract, every complaint. Sorry, we've overloaded Kathy. She started kind of in the middle of all this, but there's a full record here. I will be able to answer questions. Aaron has all the financial, even more than compatriots across the street. But,
so two separate just documents. Number one, Duck Cove is one project. That's right. Going to be finished by the end of the year. We delayed Opti some. Yeah. The county delayed Opti some. Getting Opti equipment is taking a 90-day lead time. It should be here sometime before the end of the year, and we'll wait for this to be done before we do that. We may ask the constructor on this to give us a price for that. It's much smaller. It's a $10,000 construction project and a $70,000 engineering project for the Opti project. Very flipped from what it would be in most of it. Three or four other things, if I can take a little bit of time. I don't.
Sure.
Bridges are critical. The state cares about bridges. Dams are critical. The state cares about dams. So the two things we have is the bridge out here that carries thousands of cars a day.
and thousands of trucks a day, is a critical structure. Every bridge in Kansas is a structure that is critical according to the state of Kansas. The one where the spillway bridge is the second one. The culvert in the back on the Opti project is a third one. There's a small one up on the slope up here, and there's another small one down here that are considered bridges in the definition that Kansas comes up with. They're so far behind on checking bridges. We've passed a letter to them saying, hey, you missed us the first time around. Tell us what to do. And they've said, hold on. That's where we are. But there's a whole set of bridge inspections that have to be done on an annual basis from now on. Thank you, I-35 in Minnesota 10 years ago. Second one is there's a dam inspection that is done. We're in the middle of the fixing the spillway project. We have used the delay and do the Band-Aids versus the rip it out and fix it approach. And we plan to do that rip it out in the next 1 to 3 years. That's a $800 to $1 million project. Thanks to our money bags over here, we hope to be able to do that out of existing treasury funds versus a bond issue of any kind. As a taxpayer here, I want to try and not do that. And we're trying to come up with some alternative structures that would be of interest to the council. The council will see all those beforehand to approve them. Our spillway works, a well-designed Black and Beach 1929 structure. It works poorly right now, but it works, and that's where we're at. But we need to fix that over time. We've injected, and we're doing the rest of it as we can. So dams. And a minor repair on spillway is at play right now that we still need to do on the gate. Last thing is, if you think about it, if for instance, that's one of them where, think about the consequential damages that occur if that bridge went out because of a decision we made on the spillway. Are you with me? Those are the kind of things that are the catastrophic ones that strike us or could. And we'd have to think about what that impact is to commerce and everything else along here. Okay, I think that covers them all. SMAC is my main job, and that's voluntary. And the city's engaged my company to do a little bit of keeping track of stuff. One last thing, great job. Go down and look at what Johnson County Wastewater would. And we will not send them a thank you note for how well they did until we know they're not going to bill us for helping them with any of the expense of that. Because we send them a thank you note, they may say, well, great, here's $10,000 or $50,000. It's a $200,000 job to stop the erosion on our bridge, okay? If you go down there and look at it, they've done the stair step, and they did a drainage canal, and they waited and did it until the bridge from the rail guys were done. So the guys from Johns County Wastewater is exactly how a utility should run. Kansas Gas, slightly different.
And Bill being such a nice guy, when he was over there, he went ahead and inspected the railroad bridge.
Yeah, when they did the rail bridge is outstanding. And the way they did it, filling, doing all the fill, putting in a big crane. My daughter actually thought that was the bridge, the crane. Okay, don't know where she got that.
Don't get excited about bridges.
And then removing all of that fill and then fixing the channel the way they did. Burlington Northern is also on the good list at the moment for that fix. Okay, it's a beautiful bridge too. If you care about culverts and bridges, hey, we got some good stuff around here.
Bill and John do a lot of volunteer work around here for the city.
Do you have any point of contact?
Well, most of us know that.
Did that John?
Did the bridge one?
And
did
all the
no, but you're not.
Do a lot of work.
Waiting for the complaints on the floor.
Good to have
rocks.
Two other little things. I don't know who's taking over your stormwater. We do need to pursue the Boundary Bowl golf maintenance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an issue.
And the other point that I, just so you all know, the city and QEng both engage with Olson Engineering. They're our primary engineering firm. The reason why they were selected by both really makes a difference. Because they're our joint projects, there is savings for both parties as we go through some of these projects together. So,
yeah.
And they've done a very good job for us.
Bruce Rimbo sent that email to us before he left.
Okay,
and
so you hear him speak.
To maybe not bring it up at this meeting.
That's right.
Send the email out and decide.
It doesn't need to be done right this minute.
Yeah.
But,
the gauge on the river, on the lake level. Back into the little things we deal with. On Wednesday of this week, we'll have a 12 o'clock meeting of us here, we hope, to go through establishing the warning signals that go out and then a test of it at 2 o'clock that time. So the people that get that test are the folks that run the clubhouse, which is below emergency level, George, who's below emergency level. This was part of our agreement to not put a 6-foot wall on the dam.
Okay, and that fits into this. We have to have that as an up-and-going structure. It's been a complete disaster in getting High Sierra to do that, but we think we got it solved, and you all have spent all the money you should on that. Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, John.
I never got a bill from him.
Don't worry, Bob. You'll get one.
I know. I need it by December 31st.
That's true. I'll call and see.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the treasurer's report that you all should have our copies of. And I think you got them ahead of time, correct?
Yes.
Yes, hopefully. All right. Hi, guys. Okay, so this is the treasurer's report that you'll see from me at every council meeting. The first two pages are actually titled Treasurer's Report, where this gives you kind of the broad overview of what our accounts look like and what our payroll looks like for that month. On that one, I'll point out that for the month of November, we were 4% above budget for revenue, which brings us to 0.8% above budget for the year. For expenses, we were 10.5% below budget for the month, brings us to 1.9% below budget for the year. So right on track for both of those with what we were expecting. The next section is our balance sheet. I don't usually go over that one each month. That just kind of gives you another overview of the funds that we have in our accounts and then also of the liabilities that we owe out as well. The next one is a four-page document called Profit and Loss Budget Performance. This one goes through our monthly budget, actual versus budget. It shows you from the year before where we were for that month, and then the section over to the right shows you January or the year-to-date actual versus budget, and then where we were last year at that point. That's also one that I don't normally go over each individual line item, but that's a good one for seeing what we have left in certain accounts, that kind of a thing. We are, as a Kansas third-class city, under cash basis accounting, which means everything that we do is calendar year based. The one that I do go over kind of in detail every month is the check detail. That shows you anything that we paid out through either EFTs or actual checks throughout the month. And normally we have a lot of just repeats, standards that don't change or change by very little. I do usually go through and point out kind of the outliers for this month in particular on page 3. You'll see a check to Q Inc. and then two to Olson and Associates that I wanted to go over. The Q Inc. one was the money that we have paid for Duck Cove that they've already paid us back for. This was us receiving the money from the county for the portion that they're paying for and then us writing that check back to Q Inc. We were told from the beginning that it was the 75-25. And so John and I were both expecting to be paid back at 75% of what was owed. They ended up paying us for the entire amount so far. So we're assuming that they'll pay us up to the 75 and then not pay us for the 25 at the end, as opposed to doing every bill that way, if that makes sense. So just a surprise, but we're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah. So. And then also the same thing for the Olson bills. Both of those were related to work that was done for Duck Cove. Both of those have been paid by Q Inc. And both of those will be part of the next thing that we submit to the county for the Duck Cove project. Besides that, on the next page, you'll see the Foresight Solutions, Brady, that you had asked about if we had paid for my dad's company for the work he had done during the year. And then also wanted to point out the harbor construction for the road paving for Bruce Rembrandt's project that he had finished up. The next page is just our deposit detail for any money that comes in. We do deposits weekly for court, dogs, trash, franchise fees, or anything else that comes in. You'll see a couple of those. You'll see that Johns County Treasury amount, the $133,000 that was us depositing it in our account. That matches check detail that we paid to Q Inc. Same with the Q Inc., the $20,809.46 the following week. That was what they paid us that we turned around and paid to Olson for the debt cost stuff. Next section is journal entries. Most of the journal entries that we have in our account each month have to do with liabilities for building bonds. When a project is finished, if they go above the project initial estimated project cost, then we write the bond check back to them but keep a portion of it for our account. That then turns into our general fund. And then finally, you'll see a page for credit card details. All of our main employees, Chief Fred, Kathy, myself, Assistant Chief Trevino, and then Mark Steffen are our current credit card holders. And so you'll see that every month of what is spent there.
And in regards to check detail, like Aaron said, most of the time it's pretty standard, but every once in a while you'll see something that looks unfamiliar, or maybe it's a high dollar amount. With you guys being new to the everything, you know, something like ICE systems. Well, what the heck is ICE systems? In that case, that's Stefan Zalkenberger, our IT guy.
Yep.
But stuff like that. So don't hesitate to ask, Aaron.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was like a 50,000 foot view of the treasurer's report, but wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of what you were looking at there. But yeah, if anyone ever has any questions about anything, feel free to email. I always try to send it out the Friday beforehand through email, and then it's also uploaded to the tablets. And then, like I said, this time I printed out some paper copies too, which I always have one available that we can make copies of.
Yeah. Any questions on the treasury report?
Just curious, the
absolutely.
KCPL and AT&T franchise fees?
Yes.
Did those, what happened? it looks like we have income from those and there wasn't any in November. Is that something that is?
So Westar is the only one out of franchise fees that pays us on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Yes. Everyone else, everyone is on a completely different schedule. One of them we get paid twice a year. One of them we get paid two of them we get paid quarterly, and then Westar we get paid monthly.
Okay.
So Westar you will see on a monthly basis, and then the rest of them are just kind of on their own schedules.
Okay.
And I had a question.
Yes.
Paul Welcome was actually asking me this. You know, I really didn't know.
Oh,
for
yes.
Sure. And because, of course, he would like to.
Streetlights?
Have pretty streetlights.
Good old
inside the gates?
Huh?
Inside the gates?
He would like us to have decorative streetlights like Mission Hills.
But
prepare
he,
yourself, because he corners the mayor and I are about it every year at the property appraisal meeting.
And I was asking him, did you mean, you know, within the gates or outside of the gates? And he
both.
Said, no, everywhere. And I said, well, when he was saying that the city pays for, is this true? The city pays for all the light fixtures and the electricity that happens on those for the entire, all of Lake Rivera?
We cover all electricity
so
for the city, for
like
everything.
Power grounds,
yeah.
Type of.
And so why, that seems so different.
Just the street lights.
Anywhere else.
Same for trash. Like, there's a couple of things that the city, we cover all trash services,
yeah,
besides what is picked up at the clubhouse and at the actual queuing offices. But we cover, like, the homeowner's individual trash services.
So,
at the
so
city.
If we were, as people are trying to entertain making our lights look better,
mm-hmm,
they all are thinking it would be a complete city expenditure.
Yes.
Which is,
that is what he, yes. It started with when Mike was mayor, and he started approaching us about it, because Mission Hills is the only city in Johnson County so far that has went through this process. They actually purchased all of their actual poles, switched them out to the decorative ones, and then have those now.
This has been brought up many times, and where Paul Welcome's coming from, when they changed out the one close proximity to his house to the LED lights.
Oh,
he was,
we've
he
gotten,
was not a fan.
We've received several complaints about that.
Yes.
And this has been brought up several times. Mike Olson talked about it here. I think Ben did once.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you got it. But it's been brought up to the QE side too, and I'm telling you, it won't happen.
We started initial discussion,
the
Mike.
People, our members and
yeah,
citizens, your citizens,
yeah,
there's no way they will allow.
This place would be packed. Yeah.
We started like the initial discussion with Mayor Olson. He had me look into it, so I actually went and shadowed the people at Mission Hills for a day to kind of see how the process originated, and got as far as receiving a number from Westar for our polls, and we have 37 within the limits of Lake Revere. But that is where it stopped, because then I think we got an individual number on the cost of a light pole, and it was a table discussion for a later date.
Yeah.
Is that we do.
Three different Evergy bills? Is that
So we have one for Holiday Drive. We have one for the actual city hall, and then we have one for the pools that are inside Gates and beyond.
Is that the big one? The $600 one? Okay.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yep. Any other questions for Aaron? We actually do have to approve this treasurer's report. So if nobody has any other questions, I entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. Treasurer's report.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes, and as a small side note, our auditors, as a double proof from the minutes, like a signature from Councilmembers and Mayor, that the treasurer's report is approved.
Aaron,
so,
do I sign
this? Ben and,
Can I verify, Mr. Preeb, you set the motion, and Ms. Nolan, you seconded. Thank you.
This isn't on the agenda, but where's the bottle of water?
Fred, I'll take one too, please.
I did. I have it for you. I think I'll email it to you.
Thank you.
I think we're back.
Thanks very much.
It's just higher than I expected it to be, so.
Okay, moving on to Chief Fred Ganeer.
Everyone received the monthly report. I basically condense it. If I go over it, I may move into just asking if anyone has questions in the future to, out of respect for everybody's time. So, some things that you may see in here that you may not understand what it means, like the HVO report, which is a no report. Those are officers' activities that we have interacted with the public, call for assistance. Like today, for example, there was an accident that happened at one of the curves where one truck brushed up against another truck with something sticking out. A few minor scratches, doesn't require a report to go to the state. They exchanged information, done. No need for me to write a big state report and put it in a file, so that's kind of an HBO thing. So if you call me to your house to maybe unlock your car, no need for me to do a report on that. If a tree limb was down in the road. So it lets you know that, you know, that we're doing things here and there, 39 incidents where the police have done some sort of action, which doesn't really require official reporting. The SXX patrols, which are side-by-side, obviously, due to the weather and the cold, we haven't had that out this last reporting period. And if anybody had any questions on anything, I mean, it's all self-explanatory. Always ask if anybody has questions at every meeting anyway, so.
Yeah, sometimes there's some interesting calls that, he won't provide.
And for some of the new members, there are times where I can't elaborate on an investigation. Part of the state laws that prohibits me from speaking openly about a status of a case or something like that. And if you guys have questions on that, I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you and let you know if these are the boundaries I have to stay within. And
not really checks.
That's anything from checking the clubhouse, checking gates, your property when you're on vacation, things like that. So those are the numbers of checks that we've done throughout that reporting period on various properties, whether it's queuing properties or personal homes, stuff like that.
That number even goes up during the winter. Right?
Of course, sure.
When people have second homes.
Yeah.
Any And I am going to backtrack a little bit just based on time. We've got one council member who has to take off at 8:30. Under new business, the community mapping proposal for first responders, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, so just a little background for our new people as well. When Mark Steffen had transitioned the fire department over to the city of Shawnee, one of the problems that we had tried to address, tried to find a solution to address at the time is mainly involving the clubhouse, the golf course, any property owned by Q-Inc. If someone has a medical, fire, anything requiring EMS services, it automatically gets called in and the address is 100 Crescent Boulevard, whether it's farthest hole on the golf course, something at the preschool, something at the pro shop, clubhouse, never know where to go. So one of the projects that I took on after Mark left was finding this company to do this mapping proposal. So the quotes that are in front of you, this will not be something that we will pursue until once the community center is up and operational, because they're including that in the mapping as well. So what they do is they will map out any property that technically falls under 100 Crescent Boulevard, and they will provide sectors and quadrants, and then that will come in the form of what, however, the this is where you go above my intelligence level. Somehow that will get transmitted to Shawnee Fire Department, and the people in different areas at Q-Inc. will also have copies of that. So instead of just saying medical emergency at the clubhouse, it'll be medical emergency on the upper floor, sector 3, so they will know exactly where to go. Something for quicker response times, things like that. And they've worked with the city of Shawnee before this particular mapping. And
I think it's very cool and very important in the good city lives.
Aaron, so, does that include, we talked about it last time, the trail system?
So I told him that you already had, like,
and I'll just verify those.
Yeah.
So that would be included?
Yes, that's included.
And then in like the nature center and the horse stables.
All of that. Yep.
Okay. So for example, John got the trails marked through GPS.
Well, I'm going to update them, but all the trailheads.
But yeah, if somebody were to have an accident out on the trails, that would be part of it too.
Like a heart attack on the golf course?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
What about on the water?
So the water gets a little bit trickier. We could go to a point, he said, if we wanted to eventually, but mostly for water, you could at least do a buy a dock number, something that you could get to them quicker. But
especially with this size lake.
Yeah. He looked at the size of our lake, and these are the ones that he recommended.
Yeah.
Anything for a quicker response time. I use John Christie as my example a lot of the time when there was a fire on the golf course, and it was called in as 100 Crescent Boulevard. And we had a police officer, luckily, who was working at the time, but it was before we had the side-by-side. So then the police officer knew that they would be coming to the clubhouse, where then our police officer had to meet him to direct him back to John's house, where I think they eventually ended up using your golf cart and your neighbors to get back to where they were. But I mean, and luckily this was a random landscaping fire, if that would have been a medical emergency, trying to find the ways to make the time go.
Very important. Thank you for looking into that.
Yeah, so these are just FYIs. We do not have to vote on them now. Like I said, he will not start any of this. He said it's much easier to transmit the entire thing to Shawnee at one time as opposed to doing what we have now and then uploading the community center at a later time.
Yeah.
So these will all be after the first of the year.
And again, getting out of order here, but under new business, Fred's got a couple items. One of them, the front door for City Hall proposal. That's been on the agenda for a couple months now. Fred got a bid, got a second bid, but never came back with that.
Yeah, I reached out to the company before. They never responded. And this company, I actually saw that they were doing work on the new community center. I'm like, okay, well, obviously they work here. So, and they were quick, prompt on coming down to give us an estimate. And everyone should have a copy of what was provided, along with some example-type documents. The biggest issue that City Hall has is typically patrons will come up and not know what door to go to. Most people will come up to this door here and shake the door, start wandering around until one of us maybe see them and you know, we gotta wait this door over here. So I think the business type glass door is gonna be a main focus for people and improve the professionalism of City Hall here and long overdue.
Yeah, long overdue, and it also kind of coincides with this discussion we've had about, you know, really making City Hall look like City Hall, maybe with some signage. We talked about rearranging the parking lot. Recently, there was an issue where there was almost an accident because the entrance exit to the parking lot had some tall trees in the you know, in view. And so, with that said, the front door is kind of the starting point of, you know, really kind of beautifying City Hall, whether with the monument or, like I said, some signage, something that says, like, when you're at City Hall.
And we did get a price from our contractor that did all their other signage for City Hall. However, we really do need to, before we erect some stone signage, we need to know what we're going to do with that parking lot.
Completely agree. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
As far as the door,
from the proposal, from what I reviewed on it, it seems like when he calculated the estimate, he assumed that there was some sort of electronic buzzer type thing, which we don't have and we don't need. So I would anticipate the price to be maybe a little bit lower, being that there's no electronic device to go in there. But I do need the simplex key-coded entry for everyone that comes in. It's just easier to recode a combination lock than to recut keys whenever there's a change or anything like that. So,
and another thing to consider is that this bid is only valid for 30 days, correct?
Correct. So I would like to maybe get an approval for a not to exceed $4,000, and we stay under that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that would also leave room to get a
sign-off of operation.
I think
that's
would look good.
A nice decal logo with hours on the glass. Again, make it professional and attract people to the correct door.
And Fred does a lot of this stuff himself. In fact, he did all the decals on the police vehicle, the side-by-side, so he can do the front door. He'll save money anywhere he can.
True.
I feel comfortable with not to exceed $4,000. I'm pretty confident that it'll come in way lower than that. So.
And this would be a 2020 approval.
Correct. That was the other
because he could not get this done within this budget cycle.
Yes. So, once again, I'd entertain a motion or discussion.
I make a motion to approve the approval of the new exterior door not to exceed
$4,000.
Okay.
All right, second. Second. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And motion carries.
The second item on the agenda was a kind of a facelift on the gas pump island. Remember, you may have two quotes in front of you. I only retain the second quote. This company just stopped in and said, hey, here's a flyer, here's what we do. And basically they redo pump islands with a stainless steel surround and put up new bollards and stuff like that. The first quote was like over $5,000 because we have actually two separate islands. I reached out to him. I said, what if you just make that one island? What's our cost going to be? And that changed that significantly down to $3,720.
What are the two? You're talking gas station island.
Gas station
you're
island.
You're saying we have two islands because we have pumps on each side?
No, we have one pump, but there's two raised sections. So if you actually look, the gas pumps here, and just to the right of it, there's another little island where that canopy stone wall comes down.
Those columns come down. The
right.
Mm-hmm. Those islands.
Uh-huh. So there's actually a little separation. You may not have noticed it because there was a trash can that always sat there, but we recently moved the trash can up against the gas pump with our new trash can. So you may notice it, you may not. And when they quoted it, I actually had to go out there and look. I'm like, we have two islands? We only have one gas pump. I'm like, oh, I see what they did. So it just makes more sense to make it all one level surface. So that, again, almost a, you know, what, $1,300 decrease by just doing one. To me, that just smart business.
Can we get some pictures? Do you guys have some pictures so you can kind of visualize?
I'll have to see if I can find the flyer, but I can forward it. The thing is that this is not within the budget for this year, although they said this is kind of a deal because we're in the area. And they are done in December, are not going to pick it back up until spring. So we'll have to revisit this probably in spring and get an updated cost. And hopefully it's still within the $37,000 ballpark. But from the flyer, the before after pictures that they send out, substantial difference. And
but it would be nice.
Yes.
This is our opportunity because since we're very unusual to have this little tiny gas station right in front of our beautiful, you know, in front of everything, and it'd be nice if it could look, you know, kind of quaint and like it's part of this community.
Right.
A little bit.
What really made me bring it before the council is our current island. They're steel formed and they rust, and this is a cap that they put over it. And the front of the island is stainless steel, so we're not going to have to worry about that rust issues and, you know, 200 coats of paint and just shabbiness. So I'll get the pictures out.
And that replaces the ceiling too?
No, this is just the island. I wish we could get a canopy for that kind of money. I would give you money out of my police budget to get that done this year if that was the case, but.
Well, I agree. I think if we are dealing the, you know, looking at this in the spring, I think in the meantime, Mr. Gasman over there might be able to come up with some more attractive roofing options.
The gas.
Percolate on.
So. So that's something for the future.
Yeah.
If you absolutely wanted it done now, Aaron said we'd have to take it out of the reserve funds, which I think it can wait.
Yeah.
Again, let's get past the winter, one less season for salt and other things that erode concrete.
It's nice to have a contact to work though.
Yes.
Well, who knows? We might even have new owners
by then. Yeah.
Will that be a trippy number for a full service gas station?
Thank you for including that in your report, guys. Fire chief report, Mark Stephan. He shows up once every 3 months or so. He's a hoot when he does show up. He always comes with a lot of information. Right now, he's trying to sell the old fire truck. I believe he advertised on some websites at a certain price, had no takers. So his last plan was to drop the price, list it again, wait 2-3 months, and then maybe do an eBay type.
eBay or Purple Wave, yeah.
Yeah. We have had a couple lowball offers, but really that's about it. He will come in. I think he's still got some equipment out there that he's trying to consolidate, but that's really about all he says when he shows up anymore. Always a hoot. City clerk's report. Typically in the past, it's really only included, you know, dog license, dog tags issued that month. Really, it's nothing. So I think we're going to start leaving that off unless you guys have specific questions for Kathy. She did attend a week-long clerk seminar in Wichita.
It was in Wichita. It's a certification program for city clerks, and
It's a four-year program. This year I was awarded a scholarship, which paid full tuition. So have my first year under my belt. It was City Clerk 101, and I didn't know what to expect going into it and just felt really energized after I left there. It was Monday through Thursday, 8 hours of class and 4 hours on Friday. So it was a lot of information, but good information. Hopefully that will help me here as not as city clerk. So I was really excited for that opportunity.
She did come
and
back
hope
energized
that,
with the list of things that none of us had thought about before that we should be thinking about. She just went on and on and on. So feel free to stop by and pick her brain and talk about stuff with her. She's happy to do it. She definitely learned a lot. We've had clerks in the past that have done similar things, and we as a council kind of felt like we didn't get our money's worth. I definitely feel like we did last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. So stop in and talk to her about it. Okay.
And if you ever want updates on not a lot changes day to day here on a business level, and I think that's where he was coming from on, you know, if you want reports on how many dog licenses were issued and how many trash stickers were bought, happy to give you those numbers. But unless there's just something more, like clerk school or something like that, there probably won't be a city clerk report in the packets going forward.
City attorney's report.
I messed up. I normally prepare packets for you guys for new meetings. Like,
start over again. What did you say?
I normally prepare a packet.
Did you?
Not for every meeting, but for the new people. You look at me like you didn't get one when you became a council member.
Do you guys remember 2 years ago?
Has it been that long? Or did you just ignore him when I did?
I was going to say, Ellis, they'll still be new next month.
And so I'll bring them with me. It's just something you can refer to. So, an ordinance takes 3 votes.
Oh, I do remember something like that, Ellis. You're right.
You did bring it.
Yeah, I will bring it. I do.
My bulb's on.
And I'm always here if you guys have questions, so just, reach out to me and contact me. I'll prepare it, and I'll bring it out next time, and I'll give you guys all copies so that you have them. You can read them in advance of the meeting. If you have something come up, you can, I wonder if it's in there.
Does it have the verbiage for how to adjourn to an executive session?
It does.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that we had AmeriSense. Probably not. I actually used to read that.
We'll still mess it up.
Why I was asking.
No more than 2 of you can discuss the business or affairs of the city outside of a public meeting, or it's a violation of code. And that's the most important one that I want to make sure you do understand, if any.
COMA is the Kansas outside.
Kansas Open Meeting.
Open Meeting, yeah.
And that includes interactive communications. And so if Gail and one of you guys on this end are talking outside of a meeting about the gas pumps or the budget or what the chief is doing, that's fine because there's only 2 of you. It's not a majority of the government body. But if you pass it on to Greg, that's a 3rd person. And then it doesn't necessarily have to be 3 all at once. It's an interactive communication. So if one of you talks to one person, and then we're going to get back on the phone and call a 3rd person and say, I'd like to do this on the gas pumps. That's 3. And that's an interactive communication about the business and affairs of the city outside of a public meeting. And that's a big note. In our city, it's easy to remember because I've always said that meetings are 3-letter meetings. If you have another council member contact you and say, gosh, what do you want to do about TRET? And here's what I'd like to do. And then all of a sudden, there's a 3rd person involved. And you hear another person involved in that communication. You just got to cut it out.
And it's really hard since we're all, especially, I was good friends with Bruce Rimbaud and Dave White and myself.
Yeah.
and we all three wanted to walk Holiday Drive together, and before a lot of it was cleared away. And then fortunately, you know, somebody said, oh, you can't do that. So we brought Betsy Boseman in, instead of one of the other people.
Yeah.
And it's really have to think about that all the time.
It's especially unique, like Gail said, to our city, because, like, you know, Ben would always be the example. You know, he's at the clubhouse eating dinner with John Christie, and then walks Dave McCullough. And you guys are innocently talking about a round of golf, but then it leads to, you know, city council stuff. That's a no-no. So keep that in mind. That also pertains to text messages, emails.
Phone calls.
So do not reply all. Kathy will send out an email to us.
Kathy or I, Cam.
Yeah, or Aaron, sorry.
I'm going to count them for purposes of the three.
Yeah, but always just hit reply. Do not hit reply all.
The law changed about, oh my gosh, 6-7 years ago, it used to be a majority of quorum was a meeting, and your quorum's three, so a majority of that was two.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime two of you discussed it inside of and the worst one that I had in the past was a council member who got a call from another council member, and they discussed the business or affairs of the city. Unbeknownst to that council member, the one who placed the call called somebody else and said, this is what the first council member said. And then called somebody else and said, this is what. And it was found to be a violation of COMA, and the first council member never had a conversation with anyone other than the one person who called them. So it just, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
What your comment, and that's pretty much what that whole thing. A manual says that. Three is a vote that is required to pass an ordinance. Any other action is a majority of those present in voting. So that number can change. What else was on there?
Boy, definitely remember COMA.
I'll bring it up next week when we go through it.
There were stuff about ordinances.
Ordinances have to be published, resolutions do not.
Yeah, stuff like that.
The mayor's in a city of the third class, the mayor is the general administrator of the city, and we technically have no limit on the number that the mayor can approve on a certain budget item, but the mayor's always, in this particular city, it's very close to everyone, so if something is passed, they want to make damn sure it's okay with everybody. You'll know about it.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions on any of that stuff, just get them.
Yeah. I always say better safe than sorry. Reach out to Ellis.
But even if you have, like, a committee meeting, if you can't have that, like, let's just say, like, on insurance or something.
Mm-hmm.
If three of us are meeting.
Nope.
No, so, like, the meeting, that the last meeting we had with CDOS, it was Kathy and Aaron and I.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys don't count.
We don't count in that.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible fun sponge on it. So if you have any questions about it, just ask me. There's a difference. You will see in your manual, I looked just a little bit ago, make sure it's in there. The league will tell you that when you're counting that quorum or that majority of the governing body, you do not count the mayor because the mayor does not vote.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, in our city, the mayor does vote if you're equally divided.
So
I count the mayor. Because as soon as I don't count the mayor, you're going to have something come before you, and you'll be voting on it, and you'll be equally divided, and the mayor will vote, and somebody will say, oh, that's a coin violation. You have three people meet to discuss it outside the meeting. Like, yeah, you're right. So I count the mayor, and I think every city, most of the cities in Jefferson County do.
Mm-hmm.
So just, it's weird. I know Greg runs into it all the time. It's not an easy one to apply, especially in the city.
Just be aware. Okay. Anything else?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't even know
me
to bring those things tonight.
No problem at all.
I'll bring those next week since some of you have already lost some of that stuff.
Okay. Good deal. Well, I can take a couple items off my mayor's report, Sunshine Law Review. So basically just covered that essentially. The Deer Harvest Final Report, I think you guys have that piece of paper provided by John Nelson. That was just a month-long harvest this year. As you see, two doe taken, 52 doe spotted, 14 bucks spotted in approximately 35 hours of hunting. There were only two of them. It was only a month long, so that's where that is. I will not be assigning anybody the deer harvest area of responsibility. It might be under your area, Dave, but I think until, you know, Q8 decides in June or July what they're going to do, then we'll go from there, because essentially we just provide the permits and Fred witnesses the testing.
Well, basically the harvest program falls under a city ordinance, but the city owns no land.
Right.
So if Q Inc. does not provide any land or votes to not include any land, there's no deer harvest.
Yeah.
So that's how it all works.
Yeah, I was at that.
And that's why this
is such a lot of discussion on the deer harvest. So
yeah, it's that way.
I know more about it than I should.
So that whole discussion was over 2 years being harvested.
Well, typically the season's what?
It normally runs from mid-September to mid-January. The last 3 years they've taken 5 each year is all it's been taken. This year, after we put in trying to reach a balance between all the concerned individuals, we brought it down to 30 days. It's only the last time they had, when 20 something were harvested, that's when there were outside hunters in here. And then right after that, it was limited to just Lake Covera residents and members.
With a limit of a maximum of 10, right?
This was 12 this year, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, it's 10 or 12.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all that, Greg, for 2 deer.
So we'll hold out and see what happens with that.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Toyota's have a higher success rate on the deer trolling them.
I'm going to go to the website app update. I think you guys got an email from Kathy regarding the website app. Hopefully you guys downloaded the app. Kathy's been updating the website with pictures, I think, of the mayor's Christmas tree lighting.
There was an announcement about the event, and I think I was told your husband took pictures, we'll get those added to the site. And
he told me my phone was really bad at taking pictures at night, so I gave him a responsibility.
That sounds like a new comment.
It actually sounds like a Christmas present to me.
You would think so.
So, yeah, if you guys ever have anything you want to add to the website or to the app, Kathy's getting pretty familiar with it, so get with her. If you've got pictures that they want or announcements, stuff like that, let her know. Fred's going to have the capability to send out emergency notifications as long as people download the app and select yes to receive the notification.
Are we going to do an app push? Are we going to do some type of, like, black box flyer?
Ben sent me his last mayor's report.
Does he talk about it in there?
Talks about that in the paper, so we agreed, let's get that out first and then do
perfect
black box communities, all that stuff.
Awesome. And do we need to update, like, the profiles on everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
So we talked about maybe having somebody like Ron Bauer come in next month and ask you guys to come in a little bit early to get individual pictures up here. And then provide just a short bio. I'll come up with an amount of words, and nothing too serious. Just, you know, John Christie, married, 4 kids, lived out here, whatever. Something like that.
A while.
Yeah.
I can send my 2012 headshot too. Less grim speaking.
Yeah. So you guys will hear from me regarding that. I'm skipping around here. Holiday Drive west of Renner Road. So if you leave the gate here and head west, then you go past Renner Road on Holiday Drive on the north side. The road dips down. In fact, the guardrail even dips down.
Yeah.
And they've done some patching up there in the years past. But it's to the point now where I admit I do it, and Ben admits he does it, but we veer over in the left lane, and And even if you don't, if you've got oncoming traffic, you know, you hit that and it kind of scares you for a second. It's only going to get worse over time. Patching's not gonna do anything for it. So Ben really stressed that he hoped that we would look into a more permanent solution on how to fix that. So that's something that we'll talk about in areas of responsibilities. I think I got Greg on roads, got Gail and John on Holiday Drive for a couple different reasons. We'll go into that later. But again, Greg, that's something you want to look into. If you want help, there's several times where Dave White was asked to review a dog ordinance, and Ben said, Brady, would you jump in and help as well? Because he realized this isn't your full-time job, and you guys have lives outside of here and kids and all that stuff going on. You don't have 36 hours in the day like Gail somehow does. She is just busy constantly. I don't know how she does get her stuff done because it's amazing. So anyway, if you need help, reach out. But maybe just start poking around. A good resource would be Bruce Rimbo. He kind of took care of our roads for a few years. So if you want to reach out to him, he could probably point you in the direction who to contact first. I think there was some discussion about who actually owned the road. Was it Quivira or?
Everything I reviewed, it falls within our city.
And it's definitely Lake Quivira. If you want to double check that, that's up to you. But Fred reviewed it probably more than once. I'm sure Bruce did too. So it's definitely our road.
Was it county owned? Was it? I assume that's Wyandotte.
It's Wyandotte.
Yes.
Good luck.
That's a no.
That's usually a no.
And they have come out and, like I said, Wyandotte has come out and done some patches.
Right.
They've come out and done short-term patches once.
Yeah.
I think there was a truck driver who ended up calling after we had called multiple times, who almost veered off the road at that point. So they came out and did a patch. But
yeah.
Wholesome Engineering is also a valuable resource there. That's who we use to set certain standards on road cuts and that with them on the other side. And we actually, I think, adopted some of the Shawnee and Olathe regulations that are now holding the utility companies more responsible in how they patch or cut. Gas company was terrible. Water one was very good. But check with Olson, too.
And weren't they, when the Olson guy was here a couple months ago?
Chad?
Weren't they, we talked about them putting some additional road study information into whatever report they were doing, you know, as part of the drainage and all that.
They were looking at your culvert down here, which is so undersized, something's got to be done. And then they were looking at, because we were talking about the same thing, like I said, we adopted on the Q-Link side certain standards for road cuts and that. And also we follow that same thing with road repairs. Like when we did Sebring Hill and McEnany Millville down, we found that crack right down the middle of the road, a big void. So, you know, we had certain ways that was to be fixed. But Olson is very familiar with all the roads out here. And Chad Johnson's the primary contact.
Okay, appointment and vote on open council seat, that's done. Appointment and vote on new council president, so in January, correct?
Yeah, I noticed somewhere in here that the meeting is not going to be on a Monday. It's January 8th. Is the next meeting, is it?
I wasn't aware of that.
No, I have it.
Is that
the
January
6th?
8th?
Oh,
when's the first?
Yeah, it should be the 6th.
Oh. No. I double as court clerk. I was probably looking at a court calendar. My apologies.
I was going to say that.
That's right.
I was having a little anxiety over charter ordinance 21. Whether the council president, but the council president is elected at the first meeting in
January.
Okay. So the council president will be elected. It will have to be voted on by the council. Essentially, the council president fills in for the mayor. Case of my absence or disability. Anything, any other responsibilities, Ellis, as far as the council president?
No, they preside at a meeting if you're not here, and if you are disabled or resign from your office, then they take your position.
Okay. So that will be on the January agenda. Gas station lease renewal. Dave, we're going to get with Kathy on the lease and see what we can do if there's some sort of, do we have to give them 60 days warning if we evict them? Find out how serious, these guys are. Let's think about a rent increase. I don't know if it's, I think it's probably too late to do it now, but he does have a sweetheart deal. He probably knows that. I'm not familiar with Terry Presta. Dave White dealt with him a lot. So, again, if you want to get with Dave White, he can fill you in on any details.
Okay.
Okay.
He's the brother-in-law of one of
those.
Of course.
I didn't
know that. Who is?
Who's the... I've never heard of
that. That's the other thing that's in that handbook. The ethics... provisions.
You're right. I remember that too. So
whenever the case of content issues, Joyce Turbovich is she's like feeling, a little bit responsible.
Is that her brother?
It's a brother and brother-in-law.
Okay. Right.
Thank you. I believe he's married to her sister, if I remember.
Okay. That's why not the reason.
I went ahead and added trees at City Hall, which we kind of talked about out here. Gail, you had an update on those, so they're going to remove them?
They are, yes.
And then you plan on possibly planting something in the spring?
We would, again,
depending on.
We need to see, if. We need to be discussing a little bit what we think our plan is and when we might do something with the parking lot.
Yeah.
But if it's not, till a couple of years or whatever, which who knows.
Yeah.
We would plant something there.
Okay. Most important thing is that they're getting removed.
And the reason is you may have been here when the tree in the bush was planted, but it's very dangerous there. So we have so many people coming in. So when you leave our parking lot, Kathy, every day when she pulls out to take her left-hand turn, nobody can see her and she can't see them. These trees and bushes have gotten huge.
Yeah.
And, we try to trim them and they're dense.
Yeah, not only that, but I saw Kathy one time trying to leave in the evening, and there was an event going on, so there was a long line, and she was just stuck there. She couldn't turn out of the parking lot. So,
because the owners come in fast.
Yeah.
Well, you're gauging that, and you're gauging every people leaving Lake Quivira, too, both ways. Harry.
Okay, can we reach out to Q Inc. and maybe get her an automated tag? So if she had to, she could just turn right into the automated gate. It could open. She could turn around.
Yeah.
And just so she's not there for 10
minutes. Give her the ability to, if she had to run up to the office for some reason.
Yeah.
And the danger is the people, I think that's a great idea. The danger is all the people that get put in
because
they can't get in, and then it's time for them to try to get in.
Yes.
And they have no clue that this stuff is going on.
Yeah. So, John, you think a guest pass?
No, or just the Q tag only.
Just the auto.
Just the bar.
Just the bar so that it goes up when she.
Well, I think on the right side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what she could do then is turn immediately into the line.
Yeah.
Watch and then do a U-turn. But it would also give her the ability she had to run up to the Q-Link office.
Right.
For whatever reason. But no, it wouldn't be a member sticker or a guest sticker. It would just be the white.
Gotcha.
Bar.
Who should I talk to about that?
Don't know. Let me find out.
In the past, it was the security manager. So
who's fairly
Jen
new.
Alley.
Jen. Yeah.
But fairly new. And
she'd go to myself or Leslie. Actually, Leslie Trees. She's chairman of the security committee. Safety.
Start with her. Okay.
Yeah.
I love how tight security is here. We can get a couple million dollars for Duck Cove, but we can't get a bar. I don't think it's an unreasonable request at all.
Okay. Yeah, I just hope it doesn't go into, you know, the topic of discussion in a board meeting.
Give me a day or two just to ask some questions.
Before I email Leslie? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And great idea, John. Thank you.
Hour,
whatever.
Okay.
We value Kathy too much. I need her.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't have her hurt.
Yeah. In regards to monthly meetings, they're always on the first of the month. I do not want to miss any meetings. There's been times in the past, although not recently, where maybe February meetings have been canceled. People out of town, that sort of stuff, you know, just canceled altogether. I'm really opposed to do that. Ben did get a little bit of pushback from people when he changed a meeting date from like the first to the following Tuesday or something, or the following Monday. I myself don't have a problem doing that. I would rather do that than canceling a meeting or missing a meeting. The February meeting, I will be missing. I know one council member will be missing, and Aaron will be missing for that too. So I'm going to suggest that we push that from, whatever that February, is it the first or second? February 3rd, pushing that to February 10th, if that works for everybody.
It's fine with me.
And of course, and we do have, if we are out of town, we have the option of calling in and attending the entire meeting.
Yeah, that's happened several times. People who, you know, have vacation homes and stuff like that, we'll put them on speakerphone. They can vote. They can provide input, all that stuff. So you guys don't have to give me an answer if you need to check your schedule, but and do we need to make a motion on that to change the meeting date, or?
I think so, because it's in the rules.
Okay.
And then the code, I think it says silver code.
Okay. I feel more confident if we did make a motion and vote on that. However, we don't have to do it tonight unless somebody wants to.
I have a question. To move the February 3rd meeting date to February 10th.
Second. Any discussion? Does that work for everybody? Okay. I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Do you have a reason?
I'm sorry?
Shouldn't the motion include a reason?
It doesn't
obtain a quorum.
Well, we would.
There's no quorum, there's no reason.
Yeah. We would still technically have a quorum, but just with ourselves and treasurer. Good question. Yeah. All right, so none opposed. Motion passes. Okay, sorry guys, I jumped around a little bit there. Areas of responsibility. This was something that Ben did before he came on as mayor.
I've been trying to get back. Do you mind if I do my
report?
Unfortunately, we had a...
John told me ahead of time that he might have to take off early. So.
Yes. 5 10-year-old girls that need a ride from Olathe, and apparently I am the... I'd rather hear more about Elsa's back and they forgot about. So, anyway, but as far as my city council report, I think the mayor's Christmas tree was... quite successful. Obviously, the weather did not cooperate. It was awfully windy, but I think we had about 80 people, if I had to guess. We ran the club out of hot chocolate for quite a period of time. I think it was a good co-op, and that I think the vast majority of the 80 people at least went in for dinner or drinks or all of the above. So I will work. So anyway, I think that's good. Hopefully we get
consistency at the clubhouse, because I think having Faith was really good to work with. Thank you, John, for recommending that at the last meeting.
She seems great. She's a couple times I've met her.
Yeah, so. She was. I got much further with Faith in 10 minutes than I had in 3 months prior. Maybe I do it back up. No, I don't. Okay. So, anyway, so that's that. I will be working with, do the 4th of July fireworks. We get a discount by getting that done in the month of January. So, between now and the January 6th meeting, I will reach out to our fireworks vendor and get that piece done. And do I have any new areas of responsibility I need to opine on?
Well, again, this stuff can change and you can switch stuff around. So I think for tonight, I'm just going to, you know, get your feedback, let you guys think about it for a couple days, and then deal with you individually.
But that scares me to leave because
what do you not
want to run?
But the list may grow substantially over the next 10 minutes. I think all those sound, are good. So anyway, I don't have anything else to report. Kathy, thank you. The mugs look nice. They were a nice addition, and Gail was very helpful on the mayor's Christmas tree. I'm thinking about a whole bunch of things I would never think about.
Yep.
And as always, a huge help. So
Dan sent me an email saying the same thing. Great turnout, despite the weather. Mugs were a great idea. A lot of people showed up. So good job there. John also, for Mike Olson, to Ben, to me, has the toughest responsibility on this council, being in charge of fireworks. So he did a heck of a job last year, and I have no doubt that he'll continue to carry that on this summer.
It is a little bit harder to relax on the 4th of July when you know that you could be the most disliked person. So I don't advertise that role until about 10 o'clock on the 4th
of July.
Yes.
Until you hear it, that was a great show. Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
I'll have you know. So, anyway, I apologize that
I didn't
do this, but we had some logistical issues.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Greg meant nothing. Aaron, nothing.
So. Anyway, all right, well, good. Well, looking forward to working with all the new folks and our seasoned veterans over here.
Absolutely. See you later.
Anyway.
Okay. Right. Why don't we continue with areas of responsibility? Gail, do you have anything to update us on?
Cheers.
How's your current one?
No, not a lot going on in the beautification area right now. Everything was pretty well stripped and cleaned out. And mm-hmm. We did have the heavy trash, or the large item trash pickup last month, and I heard, because I didn't notice how much was actually put out along the curbs and stuff, but Doug, the Pugh, who, you know, his trucks came before our trucks,
mm-hmm.
he saw me, you know, a couple nights later at the clubhouse. He says, "Oh, we got like two huge truckloads of stuff."
Oh, good.
Yeah, of stuff that is given to the City Union Mission.
Yeah, they had two trucks out here at 6 in the morning.
And he was thrilled. And so I guess, you know, there must have been a lot of large items out on the curb.
I'm glad, because I was nervous for him, because Deffenbaugh shows up at, what time, 7 or so?
Oh, yeah.
So I was glad to hear that he got a lot of truckloads.
We changed it to 8:30. I don't know what time they actually checked.
Yeah.
But we tried to push it back. But his people were actually here the night before also.
Oh, good. Good.
Smart.
Yeah. Well, we suggested that, I think, Friday night, but good.
So that's really, it's been kind of a slow month.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
Okay.
So,
what's going on?
Really is that?
On the holiday to the east, on the south side where everything's cleared out?
Oh,
is that something that's ours, or is that something
different? That is. That's a good question. So that is under BPU, mm-hmm. and there are people that
that trim all the trees and stuff. They came out a couple months ago, and Gary Goss and I met with the guy who's 30 years experience at doing this, and he actually, I think, did us a real favor and you know, cleared that, you know, all the way back to the tree line, mm-hmm. and it'll be nice. I mean, it'll be nice, and then I don't know if they finished it up on the north side of Holiday East, but they were going to do some more trimming there too.
Great.
And then they also did 78th Street off of Quivira Lane and down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they don't, you know, they don't deal with this over here on Holiday Drive West.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, the city ended up paying several thousands of dollars last year to just get all the brush away from the rocks and the road and, you know.
That's good. That's it, Gail?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you. As far as areas of responsibility, I don't remember Mike Olson doing this. Ben did this ahead of time before he became mayor. And so I kind of went off his email that I saw. I tried to keep John Christie and Gail on the same, approximately the same areas of responsibility. I did double up John and Gail on Holiday Drive. John's got an idea that I think is pretty smart and could work. But he would like, you know, we've talked about burying the power lines on Holiday Drive. Betsy Boseman really pushed hard for it years ago. You know, she came in with a big number and it just wasn't feasible. Everybody loved the idea, but, you know, $600,000 or whatever it was to bury power lines just didn't make sense. Making that area pretty does. And so John expressed a desire to kind of focus on that for the next 2 years along with you. His position would be more of how can we make this affordable, whether it's, you know, starting with maybe two power lines, doing sections at a time, and then also looking at ways to fund that. So
yeah, right. And there's we had West Lake, or what is it, West Star come over, and there are some opportunities, you know, especially like on the first two mm-hmm. poles, and when something, when you want to take something and send it like north south instead of east west, then you know. You can have, like, it wouldn't cost us as
right.
much to do because I guess we're helping West Arca. I don't remember all the details about
yeah.
that, but if the guy did though support, you know, what we had heard before from Betsy that
yeah.
you know this is really more like an $800,000 or $900,000
yeah
deal, but if we could at least get the first couple two or three poles that really
right
you know as you approach from the west towards the east, you know, once you get to the, past the stone, the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so close to the wall, to the road, that starts becoming nice looking.
Yeah.
And you could at least do
yeah.
it there, and then you could put a nice light fixture there.
You there, know, yes.
You know, I guess, well, you have to do something,
yeah.
because the poles actually hold the light fixture.
Right. And then I reminded John that, you know, along with that, and I love the idea with the runoff that John mentioned earlier, and the culvert and all that stuff too. You know, there's several things that have to happen to make that work, but putting two of you guys on it just kind of makes sense for me. So that kind of explains that. You know, as far as the rest of you guys. I think we need to just touch base this week. Tell me what you like, don't like. You know, there's going to be stuff that you're doing that maybe you're not passionate about or you're not excited about. Like, for me, it was the dog ordinance. Nobody likes doing that, but it's one of those things you just have to do. But, like I said, if there's something that you are passionate about or have a feeling about, in John's case, it was Holiday Drive. I think I mentioned in there, obviously, they can be adjusted.
You'll notice that there's areas under two council members, City Hall, for instance. We've talked a lot about City Hall tonight. And again, if we're, rearranging the parking lot and doing something to the facade of the building and adding a monument, taking trees out, it's going to be a couple of people that have to do that.
And I just want to add, I'm on the foundation too.
Oh, okay.
I'm the treasurer.
Oh, okay.
I'll be with you on that.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, that'd be great. Good thing. A lot of times something will get brought up and Ben would just, kind of say, hey, Annie, can you maybe look into this and relative and report back to it? I can't give you an example now, but it's going to happen. If you flip to the second page, this was something else that Ben talked about, that, until we get rid of the fire truck and everything else, but eventually we're going to have that vacant fire station. We got to find something to do with it. I've heard several options. I've heard, I think you mentioned a store, community store, something.
That was Ben's.
Yeah, I don't know if that could actually happen, but, it's worth talking about. I've heard a place for kids to go and hang out. I've heard that Pew Inc. Doesn't have enough private cardboard storage, and maybe that could be an option to attract new members. Again, that's just that's stuff that I've heard. So I want you to just brainstorm, ask your neighbors, ask around, just think about it. There's no rush, but, I just hate seeing that wasted space. So
everybody can just walk through it. Is it open, or should we just talk to it?
Just get with me and I'll show you.
Yeah.
Basically, it's one, potentially two bays. The bay closest to this section is we have the police car.
Okay.
So that's kind of our,
yeah.
On the few opportunities that we arrest people, we bring them into the garage, reduce escape options, and then lock them into the police department for processing. Okay. So.
Okay. I ask you guys all to please consider utilizing Kathy. I know I have. She's great. For example, if you've got a meeting, an insurance meeting set up, you can have it down here at City Hall, set up a table with chairs, a bottle of water, all that stuff. I'd encourage her to attend. She's helping me, do some research on stuff, all sorts of stuff. So she is very, very valuable, and come in and talk to her, email her, but definitely utilize her.
Thank you. Okay. And please.
Same with Aaron.
I have little welcome letters for you with my contact information, and I would like to get your preferred methods of contact, email, cell phone, whatever that might be, and whether you want that included on the website, if it's different from what's in the directory, just so that I'll know how to reach you if I need to. And the Chromebooks, they still need those. And
yeah, so where are we with Chromebooks? Are they all?
They're set up, but as far as the tutorial goes, I don't know that we're quite there.
Okay. All right, so be ready for Kathy to reach out, and we'll get together and talk about these Chromebooks. It was just our way of eliminating all this paperwork.
To get your agenda packets.
But a lot of them didn't get turned in until, one of them today. And so we'll get those set up, hopefully, for a January meeting.
They're nice also to be able to refer back to prior months, like what Gail was talking about. Oh, I thought we had talked to Chad about doing road proposals, then you can flip back to a prior month agenda packet, find that information a lot more easily accessible.
Same thing goes for Aaron and Fred. I trust them to run this place well. Dan was the same way. Mike was the same way. Between the three of them, they really are the glue that holds us together. You probably heard Ben and Mike mention that before. Aaron is great with numbers and stuff that she comes up with. Fred, like I said, is always willing to, put the decals on the side-by-side to save some money. I think he outfitted our police car with lights and sirens and all sorts of stuff. So I trust both of them. to know them a little bit better. I already mentioned it, but talk to your neighbors and residents. You guys were, you know, appointed at large, and their opinion matters. So talk to your neighbors, get their feedback and ideas. And then lastly, you know, we all volunteer to serve this city, and I encourage debate, and there's going to be debate, and healthy debate, but I would ask that we all try and remain polite. And most importantly to me, I would hate to see an issue arise as a surprise at a meeting. So if you know of something going on, I would encourage you to reach out to Kathy and get it on the agenda ahead of time. That way we're just not surprised by anything. And also along with that, if you've got a bid on a certain item, the earlier you can get it to us, the better, especially if there's a contract involved. There might be something that we receive the night of the council. It's a bid and a contract, and we say, well, you know, we don't feel comfortable with the wording of this contract. Sometimes you can push back a month. Sometimes, we can approve up to a certain amount, but the sooner you can get that stuff in, the better, so we can all review it and make decisions quicker, if that makes sense. Anything else, guys? That's all I've got. No old business. You guys are okay with me reaching out and figuring out the areas of responsibility?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be my plan. Any reason for an executive session? I would hope not. Okay.
I don't even know what that means.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, you may want to give a little
background. I don't want an executive.
Now that Ellis's packet isn't here, it's in this fictitious
a closed session, not open to residents and employees.
Employees by invitation only.
Yeah. And what else, Ellis?
Actually, the only ones that are to be there are the elected officials and it says the individuals you designate.
Okay.
So the exceptions are really a personnel matter of non-elected official.
Legal.
Attorney to client privilege communications. And
what you go in for is the only thing you can discuss, nothing else.
It's limited to just that.
So is that maybe a once a year occurrence?
Well, we've had.
More than
it depends.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends.
Let's say hypothetically, someone made a complaint against my conduct, and it was reported to the mayor, and it's going to be up to the council to review that as a matter of personnel, whether I'm disciplined, terminated, so on and so forth. And then when it comes to the discussion, correct me if I'm wrong, Ellis, you guys will vote to come out of executive session, vote to go back into regular session, and then you would vote on what was decided in the executive session.
Mm-hmm. Would it also be the executive session for pay raises, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Performance evaluations.
And right. Security measures.
Right.
Yeah.
That you don't want to come
through. So do people really, like you literally leave the room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it happens on the night of the meeting. It's not
right here. And
that would happen.
Everybody's
like
escorted out, and the doors are closed. If someone were to walk in, you would just stop your meeting and say, I'm sorry, this is closed meeting. You need to get out. Or call me. Did it?
Someone forgot a code.
Wanting a receipt?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But no, he gives an offer at the end of every meeting in case.
Yeah.
Q Inc. has one every month. We're
not like that. Sometimes multiple, right?
Now we have had two in one evening.
That's what I thought.
Wow. All right. I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
A motion and a second. In discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned.
Oh, look at that. Wow, that's a new.